To the Black Techies Podcast, where black culture meets the world of technology. I'm David, your host. I'm here with Herb, and hopefully someone else will join. If not, it's just going to be the two of us. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks for watching us. Go ahead down there, click that subscribe button down there and the bell icon, so when we have new content, you'll get it, you'll be notified automatically. So be sure to do that. If you're listening on a podcast, audio podcast, once again, subscribe. We're basically everywhere. So Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, just search for it. You'll find it. So go ahead and subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. It really does help. Also, if you're on YouTube, leave a comment down below and kind of we would love to kind of chat with you and just see, you know, what you think of the show. What do you think of the content that we're doing? We're talking about gaming today. So, hey. It's definitely a lot to talk about when it comes to gaming. So yeah, just leave a comment down there, and we can chat, we can chop it up. If you don't really care to use YouTube as a way of communicating, we do have a Facebook group, the Black Techies Collective. So just go on Facebook and search for it, answer a few questions. It's not even really that big of a deal. In fact, I set it so that if you answer the questions, you'll be in automatically. That's all you have to do.
Please answer the questions.
Answer the questions.
Answer the questions.
I think there's somebody pending right now, actually.
Just chilling in pending because they don't want to answer no questions. Right. Answer the questions. That's all I want. Yeah. First, before we really get started, man, besides our latecomers, hopefully Dominique and Roberto will join us on the podcast, but on behalf of myself and Dave, I wanted to extend another hearty thank you to Tech Me Out for our previous interview. That was a blast. If you guys haven't had the chance to catch the previous podcast episode, we got a chance to interview Tech Me Out, who's one of the hottest content creators out there for technology in our niche. So check that out, support her channel, and just do the thing.
That's Tech Me Out, TECHME0UT. So yeah, be sure to check her out. That's part of our Black Techie Spotlight series, where every month, we can try to interview someone, a prominent YouTuber or content creator, and just kind of, you know, find out more about them and just kind of have a chat about tech. I have a lot of people in mind. Now, if I can get them on the show, that's another thing, but we'll see. The first one we had was with Kevin Nether, a.k.a. the Tech Ninja. And of course, as Herb said, the second one was with Tech Me Out. So definitely check them out. They have some great content out there. So before we start, this episode, obviously, as you can see by the title, is about gaming, the PS5, Xbox Series X, and all of that. So to start off, Herb, what kind of games have you been playing, just to kind of get into the spirit of the gaming?
Well, that's a good question, Dave. The first thing I've done was take the liberty of taking advantage of Google Stadia's free 2 months of Stadia Pro. And of course, with everything that's going on with COVID-19 and everything, this was really a good marketing strategy for those guys, because, you know, people were just kind of had the side eye in terms of the service in general. And like we were talking about it off the air, and Stadia's membership has increased like what, 33%?
Something like that. I know it's gone up a lot, because I remember playing Destiny 2. I was playing you can get Stadia Pro right now for 2 months free, and so right. with that you get Destiny 2 the collection. So I was playing Destiny 2 with mouse and keyboard, and I mean, to be honest, I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, and there were people playing with me. So, like, there were people to play with on Stadia. So, if you're interested in that, I would highly recommend checking out Stadia. You know, just it's free, right? It's free for 2 months. Mm-hmm. You can just cancel it if you don't, you know, if you don't think streaming is for you or you just don't like the service. But just check it out. I think it might hopefully change the conversation when it comes to streaming games. And we might have to do another episode that kind of delves into the whole streaming game streaming service, because right now there's there's a good number of them out right now. So
yeah, I think the other things that I've been kind of getting reacquainted with my first person shooter side, and that's been Call of Duty Modern Warfare, a game called Iron Sight that I've been playing on Steam, which is like free to play. And that's another, you know, as a kind of a side note, but not a side note, there are a lot, and I mean a lot, of really good free to play games out there for folks that have PCs or prefer playing on Steam and, you know, not necessarily other platforms. Even Stadia has some games that, you know, are part of the Stadia Pro service that you get for free, like Destiny, Destiny's Collection, and Grid, and some other games. But I did a little bit of research in terms of first-person shooters because that's what I was fiending for anyway. And I was just like, wow, there are a lot of some really classic, good-looking first-person shooters that are free. And when I say free, they're free to play. That doesn't mean you're going to be immune from microtransactions in the games and stuff like that. Some games are good. I know Apex Legends, you know, you still have, you know, upgrade, you know, pay-to-play type deals with that in terms of microtransactions. Iron Sight is a really, really good one. It's a COD port. And there's another one out there that's, I believe, is Call of Duty Plutonium. And that is Call of Duty Plutonium.
I have not heard of that.
Rather, let me rephrase that. Black Ops Plutonium. Black Ops 2 Plutonium. It's a port of Call of Duty Black Ops 2. And you can download it on Steam, but it's absolutely free, and it's fan-driven, meaning that it's fan-modded. So I was, you know, I downloaded that, played that for a minute. It's like, wow, this is pretty dope. You know, for fan, you know, fan-driven,
right,
type thing. It's like, you know, all your favorite maps and stuff are still there, but just, you know, a really fan-driven touch to a lot of the traditional maps. Like, there was a map I was playing on there, Newtown, that this guy did, just completely redid Newtown and had, you know, weapons caches everywhere and all sorts of stuff. And it's just like, that was like, it's pretty dope.
This is free to play?
Free to play. And I think I posted something in the collective to that effect a couple of days ago. A YouTube video of the top 10 free to play.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Shooters for 2020.
Right.
Now, you know, some of the old classes are there, like Counter Strike and you know, and Fortnite and some other games. But a lot of the new games are really polished for free to play products. So, I mean, for those of you guys out there that are on, you know, that are on budget and, you know, but you got to get your fragging itch in, that's something to research. You know, what have you been playing, man?
You got someone else on?
Yeah, Dominique's on.
Oh, there we go. There he is.
The Prince of Wakanda is back.
As dark as the night over there. No, I'm just
he's in the vibranium cage.
Right. But just to kind of continue on. So I was playing Control on PC, but for some reason my save game got corrupted, or I don't know, even my cloud save game got corrupted somehow, and it like took me all the way back to like the second chapter of the game. I was like near the end of the game, and I somehow lost the save lost my save game. So I was like, F it, I'm done. So I went on YouTube and I just watched the rest of it. I just watched somebody else play it. So right now I'm in Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. So I've been playing through that, That's a really good game. If you're into Star Wars, actually, if you're into Star Wars and you're also into games like Dark Souls or Bloodborne, those kind of games where you really have to pay attention to what the enemy is doing and parry and all that kind of stuff, it's a great game. It's not as hard as those games, fortunately, because I'm not really into those kind of games, but it is challenging. So don't go in thinking you're just going to button mash your way to victory. No, you got to actually, you know, use your brain and you know, think about what the other enemy is doing and how to counter and all that stuff. So it's really good though. It's one of the few solid Star Wars games we've had in a while. And it's a single-player game. You know, this is from EA, right? So, and EA was all about the microtransactions and the shared world shooters and all that kind of stuff. Because in their mind, you know, nobody likes playing single-player games anymore. Okay. So I'm happy that they let Respawn make this game, and it's really good. I mean, there's a few bugs in it. I get a few frame drops for some reason, and I have a pretty decent system, a Ryzen 5 2600 and an RTX 2060. I mean, it's not like the top of the line, but it's not, you know, weak by any means. I mean, I can generally play around 60 frames plus on 1440p at high settings, so it's pretty good, though. I like it.
I'm not going to front, man. The Ryzen 5 chip has revolutionized budget gaming for everybody.
Man, go ahead, because that last release leads us into the next topic. I'm glad you brought that up.
I mean, there are so many manufacturers now that have Ryzen 5 systems out there, and I think they didn't even really understand how robust the chip is.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm even on Walmart looking at some of the Motile laptops that I'm like, okay, this is Walmart. Do I really want to look at this? I mean, and I'm looking at the specs for those, you know, for the Ryzen 3s and Ryzen 5s, and I'm like, okay, it's not bad. You know, I had a buddy of mine, you know, go out on a whim because he wanted to give me some real-time intel on it before I invested any money in it, and I still haven't done so. But he's been gaming on it for like the last 2 weeks. Hmm. And he's like, wow. All I did was, you know, I got the eight gigabytes of memory version. The only downside to those laptops is that they're not double channel in terms of the memory.
Really? So they're single channel?
They're single channel.
Oh, wow.
But you can mitigate a lot of that, though, in terms of, you know, the other peripheral upgrades, like doing an SSD swap and you know, just making sure that any bloatware and stuff that you got on the machine is at a minimum, which they do a really good job of for those particular machines. But he was running his normal stuff, first-person shooters. He was doing emulators from a lot of his other arcade, you know, classic retro arcade games. That stuff was running like a champ. Mm-hmm. You know, he's running some really good AAA titles on there too. And, you know, he's got a Shadow account. So he was running Shadow on there and playing Titanfall, Titanfall 2. He was even playing FIFA on his Shadow. I was like, wow, okay, this is not bad. Okay, so let me investigate this further. So yeah, I'm gonna make an investment.
Was he playing FIFA against other people or just FIFA Dolo?
Yeah, he was playing against other people.
And on Shadow. So the latency is good enough that you can be competitive against other people?
Yes. Hmm. It's actually that. I mean, we were talking about this before you got on too, Dom, in terms of Stadia. If you've got a relatively good Wi-Fi or wireless connection, you can play. You know, and you can play effectively. It's very, you know, them opening up, you know, free membership for the, you know, Premier service for Pro was a pretty slick move. They did a good job with that. And I mean, me and Dave can kind of attest to our gameplay experiences on Stadia, you know, in terms of Destiny and some other platforms, that it's not bad. It's not bad at
all. I mean, as long as you have a decent internet connection. I mean, granted, you know, I have a 300 meg connection, but I'm on Wi-Fi and I'm upstairs on the third floor. So I generally get around 100 meg when I'm upstairs in my studio where I am now. But I mean, 100 megs is still, that still ain't slow, right?
Right.
That's still way more than
what at 100 megs, you weren't receiving any latency, any issues with that?
No. I mean, here's the thing. I was playing Destiny 2 on Stadia and I was using mouse and keyboard and I didn't really see any real impact to my gameplay. Like, I could tell there was latency because I'm so used to playing with the mouse and keyboard, like, on my machine itself. But it wasn't enough to affect my gameplay. So I think if you play with a controller most of the time, like, either the Stadia controller or like an Xbox or a PS4 remote, you'll be fine. Like, it'll seem it'll seem like you're playing like natively for the most part. Now, I know there are different aspects to it, like how where you are in the country or the world, like how close you are to a data center. Like, I'm on the East Coast, which is basically near almost every data center. In fact, I'm in Virginia, and like Amazon's data centers and Google's data center are both in Ashburn, I think.
One of their data centers.
What, say it again?
I said one of their data centers.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sitting lovely here in the DC metro area in terms of proximity to data centers.
Right.
So, if you're in Northern Virginia, oh gosh, you might as well have a wired connection to a data center here in Northern Virginia. Yeah.
You before we continue on, Dominique over there, you doing some cleaning over there?
Yeah, man.
But they kind of busy.
Not busy, just I wanted to come to a lit area. And since I'm in here, I'm like, might as well put these dishes up.
But all right. So can you let us know? I think you're in the camera. Oh, there you go. What you been playing as far as games?
Mostly League of Legends still. That's my primary game. League of Legends, and then Total Dawn Warhammer. Total War. Dawnhammer. That's it. It's the war. It's the Total War series, but forged through the lens of Warhammer 20,000. So it's a really fun game, really challenging. I'm not very good at it. I've restarted the campaign 40, 50 times. Also, XCOM Chimera Squad just came out yesterday.
Yeah,
and I've been going hard on that. I love XCOM. I love strategy games, like turn-based strategy is my jam. So, like Fire Emblem, XCOM 2, those kind of games. Banner Saga, right. 1, 2, and 3. I've replayed those since Big Rona been out here. So, those are my go-tos.
All right. Well, I know we've been talking a lot about PC gaming, so I don't want to leave all the console folks out there out. So we can kind of shift to that. So as you all already know, both Sony and Microsoft have released the specs for the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. Now, I'm not going to like say all of the specs. I'll just say some of them. Then we can kind of comment on them. So both of them are using, you know, custom AMD hardware. They're both using Zen 2 8. Let's see, 8-core Zen 2 chips. The Series X is at 3.66 gigahertz, and the PS5 is at 3.5. But the difference is that the Xbox actually has a set frequency, whereas the PS5, it varies depending on the workload, I think. As far as the teraflop count, which isn't really the best indicator for how powerful something is, but it, you know, for people who are into that. So the PS5 is 10.28 teraflops, and the Xbox is 12 teraflops. So all that really means, all that, you know, all those numbers basically mean, on paper, the Xbox Series X is technically more powerful than the PS5, but the equalizer is the speed of the memory. So they both have 16 gigs of memory, of shared memory. And the memory bandwidth for the Xbox is, where is it? 336 gigabytes per second, where the PS5 is 448 gigabytes. Now, that might not seem like much of a difference, but that makes a huge difference as far as when you're, let's say you're playing Spider-Man, right? And you're, you know, you're web slinging through the city. Now the game has to render all of those buildings and all of the people and everything that's on screen while you're swinging through the air. So they actually showed this demo of Spider-Man between the PS4 Pro and the PS5. And they showed how like the PS4 Pro, like when you're swinging, it had trouble keeping up because it was using like a hard drive, regular spinning hard drive, whereas the PS5 was using an NVMe SSD. Sorry, I forgot about that. They're both SSDs. They're using an SSD, a custom SSD, and it was just flying through it. Like it was just rendering things that like it was nothing. So that might be somewhat of an equalizer between the two. So I don't really think that there will be that much of a difference as far as performance. Maybe. I don't know. We can only know until they come out. But with that said, and I kind of talked a lot, I'll start with Dominique since he came in last. What do you think of those? Do you plan on like buying one of them, or like what do you think of the specs?
Yeah, I'm for sure gonna get the Xbox. I'm an Xbox fanboy, so I'm biased. So all of my comments about this will be skewed in the direction of Xbox. Fair warning, disclaimer, all that. I do think that, like you said, looking at the specs, looks like they're just about the same. There is a difference on one side in processing power or teraflops, and then the other, there's a difference in memory bandwidth. I think the Xbox is using an especially built SSD, and I guess Sony is too, right? The SSDs were made specifically. Yeah, so I don't know what the difference is there, and I don't think we will know. Also, I don't think it'll matter for like 3 years because developers, you know what I mean? They're just now getting to the point where they can put out a Fallen Order or a Horizon, you know, that game that came out on PS4. Like, those games are just, I can't ever remember the second two words. I was like, Project Dawn, Project Zero, it's one of them. But we're just now getting to the point where developers are completely unlocking the power of the Xbox One and the PS4. And so they always do this. They perfect it. As soon as they perfect it, move on to the next thing. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing like Cyberpunk on the One X or the Series X. And that naming nomenclature is going to bother me until there's another one and we call it something else. Because One X and Series X, come on, Microsoft, do better. But
so, Herb, what are your thoughts on everything?
Well, me being a PS4 fanboy, I've kind of softened on the stance of just going with one platform. So I'm open to, you know, trying out the Xbox's platform offering when it comes out. But I'm really more interested in seeing, you know, the games that, you know, how the games fare when they hit the platform. Like, everybody's looking forward to Cyberpunk 2077 and a lot, and some of the other new titles that are really being anticipated for these platforms. But I think Dom is right in the sense that people are still, you know, maxing out the potential of their regular rigs right now, you know, for both PlayStation and Xbox. And I mean, if you're a hardcore gamer, yes, you're going to be predisposed and pre-programmed to, you know, to jump, you know, in line and wait for that PS5 to come out or the Xbox One X to come out. But I think it's going to be a little bit more of a longer term progression in terms of seeing where these platforms end up. I mean, just in terms of cost effectiveness and in terms of just people, you know, just investing in them. That goes for both.
Yeah. Well, another differentiating factor. So here's the when it comes down to the nitty gritty, hardware doesn't really matter that much. Graphical output doesn't really matter that much. We like pretty games. We love good games. We love exclusive games. And when I say we love, we could take it or leave it, but exclusive games are the great divider amongst who wins each console generation. And so far, the reason Sony has been winning, even though, in my opinion, it is an inferior system, ecosystem, I should say. Inferior ecosystem. Not that the system itself can play stuff just fine, but hardcore professional gamers play Xbox. I'll just say that, you know? But that has a lot to do with the fact that Microsoft put a lot of money into making sure that they were the console that was at esports. But, you know, it is what it is. That's not the point. The point I was saying was a huge differentiator is the automatic backward compatibility for everything on the Series X that Sony has not committed to. Right out the bat, you can swap your Xbox One X for an Xbox Series X. Day one, nothing changes except you have access to better stuff. Not only that, but the Xbox Game Pass, I will tell you, as somebody who uses it, and I haven't cut my Xbox on in 2 months, but I use the Xbox Game Pass every month because I download games on my PC and play and still get my achievements on my Xbox. So
now I will say, so to that point, I think Dominique raises a really good comparison between the two as far as how they've done the rollout, like the rollout of information about the next generation consoles. Like with Xbox, like with Microsoft, like they've been on it, like from day one. Like they've been they talked to Digital Foundry. They actually came out with what it looks like last December during the Game Awards, and then like just last month, they were like, all right, this is it. This is what it looks like on the inside. They had a Digital Foundry again and a YouTuber named Austin Evans. He did like an exclusive on like what it looks like and all that kind of stuff. The details of the specs, like they were on it. Meanwhile, with PS5, you don't even know what it looks like. We know what the controller looks like, but and we know the specs, like I said before, but
there's a couple of artist renderings or what they think based on patents. There's a couple shots out there that I hope it doesn't really look like that, but it might.
You mean like the V looking?
That is
how the dev kit looks. That's legit how the dev kit looks. I don't know if that's, hopefully that's not that's not the real console, but I don't know. I mean, it's in the shape of the Roman numeral 5, so maybe, I don't know. I'm not really sure, but I think, you know, it's funny how you give the ecosystem argument, which is absolutely really good. I mean, once you buy a Series X, like you can immediately play all in your entire Xbox One collection and the backwards compatibility with the original Xbox and the 360. Whereas with the PS5, they have like a PS4 Pro and a PS4 like compatibility mode, but they haven't really said what about PS1, 2, and 3. Who knows? That now, caveat. The other thing I kind of want to tack on to this, and we kind of alluded to it somewhat with Stadia, but both Xbox or both Microsoft and Sony have their own respective streaming. Well, I won't say streaming, but oh yeah, streaming services. So you have xCloud for Microsoft and PlayStation Now for Sony. How do you all think those are going to play into the next generation, given that, you know, Stadia is free now, at least for right now? Like, do you all think that that's going to factor into, you know, into things going forward? Because with Microsoft, if they bundle Game Pass with the xCloud, I think that's a game, literally a game changer. So, like that's it. Like they've won.
There's a rumor that they're going to drop like a really cheap, essentially a thin client, which is just a portal for you to stream Xbox on, right? It won't have a disk drive. It won't have like most of the things that make the Xbox. It's gonna be like $150 plus your monthly service for the streaming. I mean, that's gonna put it in a lot of people's houses that wouldn't get it otherwise.
That sounds like the Shadow Ghost.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I think it's a little premature to. How can I put this? It's a little premature to kind of, you know, pit one against the other in terms of cloud-based services and Xbox and PlayStation 4, because their infrastructure, PlayStation 4's infrastructure and Xbox's infrastructure for gaming in general is just far advanced right now. Plus, they have the relationships in terms of third-party developers that we still have yet to see fully established with Stadia. So one of the things that I'm going to be looking at, you know, me personally, in terms of the service, you know, in terms of Stadia, is whether or not they get more involvement from their studios in terms of developing their own custom games, in terms of developing their own, you know, exclusives, and how that's going to affect their relationship with third-party developers, because that's essentially what's going to make or break the platform. Mm-hmm. Because if you...
Yo, is that Baldur's Gate game still, or Bard's Tale, whichever that game that they showed, is that still an exclusive?
Mm-hmm.
For Stadia?
I believe so.
That's a big deal. It's a blockbuster deal. Game in a genre that does not get a lot of blockbuster games.
Right. So that's going to be, and we're really not going to see that play out until later on this year, going into the next fiscal year. Whether we see these studio, you know, particularly in Google Stadia's case, whether we see the studio making those games, putting them out on a regular basis, because right now, as enjoyable as gaming on Stadia has been for me, you know, you can still look at Stadia and look at the titles and like, eh, okay, there are not that many titles. And it's like, okay, how often am I going to see new titles? That's going to be the modus operandi for that platform. Whereas comparing them with PlayStation 4 and Xbox, and Microsoft, I mean, you already know that the relationships are already there. So...
Yeah, they already have that. Like you said, they already have that relationship leg up on Google. So, it's,
yeah. And now, don't get me wrong. If Google, you know, if Google starts pumping out really, really, really dope games through their studio that are only exclusive to their platform, that's a game changer in itself too, because that makes that platform a lot more attractive to, you know, folks that. Okay, I don't feel like spending a whole bunch of money on a console, but I still get to play exclusive games. Mm-hmm. You know, that can really be a game changer for them.
So in terms of to that note, that's probably the biggest pro that Sony has over Xbox is those exclusives. I mean, you hear it all the time, right? Between Sony fanboys and Xbox fanboys, like, you know, Xbox doesn't have any exclusives and all that. So, you know, and to be fair, I used to have a PS4, right? So I played all of them. I played God of War, Spider-Man, Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, those games are great. Some of the best games I've ever played. And they make it worth buying a PS4 by itself. Even the one that just came out, Final Fantasy VII Remake, like, that's gotten glowing reviews, and you can only play it on PlayStation, or at least for right now. I think next year it might come to PC. I think it's coming to PC next year. Yeah.
It's coming to all systems. It's a limited exclusive.
Oh, it is for everyone. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, yeah. So to that, you know, to that effect, you know, Microsoft bought a whole bunch of studios last year with the future goal of, you know, producing all of these exclusive content for the Xbox Series X. We just saw at the Game Awards, they showed the next Hellblade, which looked really good, to be fair. Like, that thing was great. I saw the trailer for that. I'm like, wow, if this is what the graphics are going to look like out the gate, this is going to be an interesting generation.
Well, I think there's another kind of genre that we haven't really touched on as much, and that is retro gaming. And 2020 is probably going to see a lot of platforms, customized platforms for retro gaming, come out. Polymega's putting one out. Atari is actually putting out a console.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For retro gaming.
I think it's already out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the TurboGrafx Mini 16 putting out is a retro console that they're putting out. Retro gaming.
TurboGrafx is putting the system out.
Yes,
they are. That's hot. That's one that's gonna take. You know, it's crazy though. As much of a gamer as I am, and have really always been, every time I try to cut on a retro, man, I only can play it for a couple hours. I just miss it's certain creature comforts of gaming that you forget that you didn't have back then, like game saves and reasonable bosses and unlit, like, lives. You mean I got to start this thing over from the first level? I'm playing this game for 3 hours.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, and I'm just looking briefly here at the specs for, well, not the specs, but what the description for the Atari VCS. That they're going to be putting out in early this year. Mm-hmm. I think they've actually started marketing for it already. And essentially, platform is going to be like a regular. It's going to be like a regular next gen console. 4K resolution, Bluetooth controller, streaming capabilities. You can, you know, I mean, you'll be able to use Linux as a native OS, or you can use it in the sandbox mode. You know, be able to install any other OS that you might want to tinker with. It's, you know, concepts like that are very interesting because they fill a niche in gaming that isn't really well established yet for regular consumer gamers. And, you know, the nostalgia of being able to pick up a retro console and saying, oh, okay, this is Atari. Ooh, this is different. Let's play. You know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of appeal to that. You know, if you're a really hardcore gamer, particularly if you're an older gamer and you, you know, you're really, really, you know, fiending for some nostalgia for some of these past games and past systems. So that's something to really check out.
Yeah, yeah. I think Nintendo started it kind of with the original NES Classic, and then they came out with the Super Nintendo Classic, and then Sony came out with the PlayStation one.
There's even an Intellivision console coming out October.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
The Intellivision Amico.
I think I want the Sega. I want the Genesis. If it has all the games, like that's the thing. I just want
that's already out.
And I know you can. Yeah, but it doesn't have all the games. I wasn't super happy with their.
Let me tell you, if anybody has the bright idea of remodding and retooling the Sega Dreamcast, it's a wrap.
Power Stone.
Man, that's what I'm waiting for, man. Give me another Dreamcast. Come on, Sega.
Exactly. It is a wrap. I mean, on a side note, before we get to our next section, man, the Dreamcast is arguably the most successful console that wasn't really successful.
Right. And, I feel like the hype around it is bigger than the actual sale.
Yeah, exactly. But for the folks that have had it, I've had a Dreamcast, and I'm still sick that, you know, that dude, that sailor that was on the boat that lifted my Dreamcast while I was on deployment. I'm still looking for you. If I find you, it's a wrap. But
or taking on you.
Yeah. I'm gonna catch you on the streets. But I mean, that platform console was ahead of its time in a lot of ways. And whether in terms of the types of games that were being played, network play, the module controller where you can take the mini controller out and play mini games with it and all of that stuff. That stuff was actually, you know, that gaming system was ahead of its time. And it's a shame that Sega didn't stick with it, because investment in that game and the natural progression of the platform would have been really, really good. It would have really, I honestly think we could have been having conversations about 3 or 4, you know, in terms of just next generation consoles. We could be talking about Xbox, PlayStation, Sega, and Nintendo, even though Nintendo's already kind of gotten back to that, but they found their own niche. So
did you really take a snapshot though, Dominique?
I just want to see what that button did, man.
I saw that. I'm like, wait.
Really, bro? And it's good to know that it lets y'all know. It's good to know. Because that's, I was curious. I was like, I don't know if it's going to let them know I did that. That's, might be a little creepy.
Creepy. All right. So, but I wonder if that shows up on the stream. But we'll see. So, obviously, you know, we talked about, you know, PS5 and Xbox Series X, but of course there is always the black sheep in the room, which is of course Nintendo and the Switch, which is right now really hard to get at the moment
they're like platinum right now, man. You can't find those things anymore.
Yeah, I'm so glad I got a Switch when I did. But like people are buying them up, and it's like, you know, people kind of criticize Nintendo somewhat for not releasing like a pro version of, you know, the Switch to kind of compete more with the PS4 and Xbox. But I don't know. It doesn't seem to need that right now. Like, I mean, you got Animal Crossing
Nintendo
coming out,
makes
and you
great
got
games.
Right. The games are so good, and people, I don't know. I think they're doing a good job of making the best of what it can do. And I think the whole thing of being able to play like a AAA game like The Witcher 3 and And even what game did that got announced that's coming out to Switch? It just got announced. What was it?
I know they got Smite. They got all the NBA games. Like it's the platform itself being capable of running those things is cool. But the fact that I can do all of that stuff like on a train or right. on a plane or like, you know what I mean? Like the Switch, honestly, the Switch, Nintendo knows who their audience is and they're playing to their audience, and you cannot fault them for, because they're not here for the fanboys. They're here for people who like to play games and want to be portable. And so that fits more people. That fits way more of a demographic than the Call of Duty fan, like the Call of Duty hardcore, like, I gotta play some COD when I get off. Those guys, yeah, don't buy a Switch, dude. Buy an Xbox or a PlayStation. You know what I mean? But
those people who
your grandmama and them want a Switch.
Well, that's the thing though. Like people who wouldn't normally buy a game console, who wouldn't normally, you know, be a gamer, quote unquote, they're buying Switches because, oh look, if you're a woman, right, I can just put it in my purse and just take it with me, or I can put it in my back pocket and just, you know, if I want to play some Mario Kart right quick or play some Animal Crossing, I can just take it out right where I am and play it. I don't need an expensive $500 console and hook it up to buy a 4K TV and all that. I can just, you know, and it's not even that expensive. It's like $200 for the
$500 console that you got to buy three times.
Yeah.
I bought the Xbox One and then I bought the Xbox One S. And now I'm sitting here debating whether or not do I get the One X or do I just wait for a Series X?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't really make sense to drop $400 on a console now and then $500 or maybe even $600 on a console in December.
Yeah, brother's on a budget.
Right. Exactly.
So I mean, me too. That's what I'm saying. But you know, you can cut off $1,000 in a year on the thing you do every day, especially like during big Rona, man. I spend so much time gaming. Honestly, my gaming budget has expanded just because it's the thing that's getting me through.
Man, gaming is getting me through too, but my gaming budget is shrinking. and I think that's the other, you know, that's a good point, Dom. Gaming right now is a pastime that's needed for a lot of people. And how we game, you know, you got some folks that got resources that they can plunk down, you know, $500,000 on a new system every year. Some people can't. Some people do, but can't. Or shouldn't.
Or shouldn't.
But
I tell you this, your boss starts sending these $2,000 checks to everybody every month, and I'm getting everything. I ain't gonna lie to you, because I'm still working.
Why you gotta be $2,000?
Nah, man. He's like, I work for federal government. Ain't he on your check? Don't he sign all your checks?
I'm a contractor, bro.
If he don't sign your checks, then I got a problem. Because why he don't sign his actual employees' checks when he done delayed these folks getting their paper checks because he had to go put his name on the memo line of the other check? That's irrelevant. We getting off topic. We'll digress. We'll be there in 30 minutes. This is not a political podcast.
No tangents, please. We're good.
Yeah, no, we good.
But yeah, I think, you know, like I said, I think that's a very good point in terms of how gaming now has become really ingrained in our daily routines for a lot of people, you know, particularly with the pandemic on and folks, you know, trying just about everything to kind of, you know, get a release, you know, or an escape from, you know, typical day-to-day stuff that they see in the news or out from their, you know, outside their front door.
If you got kids living in your house with you right now during Big Rona, you used to have it 6 to 8 hours a day away from them, man. You got to have them in there all day. Not only that, but now you the teacher, and the way they do math nowadays, well, you'd be like, man, I am an engineer. Why don't I know how to do this?
Right.
What is casting out nines, folks? Does anybody know what casting out nines are? I don't know. I had to go talk to Khan Academy, sit there and learn. I got to relearn a thing I already know how to do so that I can teach it to my baby.
Yeah. Now, really quick to people listening and watching the podcast, I just posted a link in our collective about the consoles that are going to be popping up in 2020, both next gen and retro. So if you're listening to us or watching us now, head over to the Collective and check out the link.
So I will mention that there are other ways to play retro games, either on an Android phone or a PC. But if you're like me and you like your security clearance,
yes,
you like exactly. your job, I would highly recommend clicking on that link and reading about the retro console. Like, if you really want to play some retro games, I'll even point out that if you want to play some of the old like PS1 games, buy a Vita. Like, you can. I saw Vitas on like Facebook Marketplace for like $100. So like, go buy a PlayStation Vita, and you can play almost you can play a lot of the original Xenogears, Chrono Trigger. Like, you can play a lot of PlayStation 1 classics on there. For and it's legit.
Most of that stuff's in the iOS marketplace as well. By the way, I have almost all of those things you just named on my iPad.
Oh well, hey, go ahead and do that if you feel the need.
to drop $15 per game, by the way. I mean, unless I always buy them when they're on a sale. Mm. Like, when they're on a sale for like $5 a piece, I'll drop $5 for a square masterpiece like Chrono Trigger.
Oh yeah, I just bought Chrono Trigger on my Pixel. Like, I've never played it. Well, I played like the beginning, but I never finished it. So I
haven't finished it yet.
No, I just got it like yesterday.
Okay, so. Listen, that is top three best games of all time, number one.
So I've heard.
At least in the RPG realm, maybe you can argue now, 25 years later, a couple things have pushed it out. But top three, once you beat the game, play New Game Plus, it's worth it. That's my
tip. Yeah, because it's like different endings, right?
Not so much. Yeah, I mean, it's different endings based on what you do, but the New Game Plus is just it's a more challenging way through, but you'll already kind of have some knowledge of the game and you'll have your whole party. The characters in that game, the character development in that game, the skill use, the active fighting battle system, mm-hmm. it's just, oh, that is such a good game, man. I've probably beat that game 50 times in my life.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, man, there's something else while we've been on this subject that kind of came to mind. And, well, a couple of things. One, something we touched on the last podcast that we had with Tech Me Out. And that has to do with esports at HBCU campuses. And I think the fact that we saw some progress on that with Johnson C. Smith having a full-fledged curriculum and Hampton doing their thing. I mean, if you guys are watching out there and, you know, you attend an HBCU or you're an alum or supporter or patron of an HBCU, drop that seed to your SGA folks. Drop that seed to your administrations. You guys need stuff like this on campus. Not only is it something that is a really cool pastime to integrate into the culture, but it can make y'all school a lot of money.
And it's probably a lot cheaper than a regular athletic program.
With less overhead.
Yeah, it's a way less overhead.
So if there are any administrators or you know, donator types that are listening or watching our podcast, please take that in consideration. Please.
But absolutely, with that said, I think I might kind of wind this down because it's at least almost 5:10 my time and I'm hungry. But it's time for dinner. And it didn't help that Herb, but you know, before we started, Herb was up there chowing down on the was it roast beef?
what you want. But hey, man, brother got to do what he got to do. But, it's like, so, I can't do podcasts on empty stomach.
Hey, I don't even blame you. But before we go, I'll give the requisite housekeeping. You know, like I said before, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment down there and subscribe while you're there to kind of so we can start this conversation about the PS5 and Series X and all that stuff. Also, let us know how we're doing. If you think that we can improve, which we can always improve, there's always improvement for things. Just let us know.
Yeah, they can always improve.
Yeah.
Yes. Any constructive feedback is always welcome.
That's the key word.
Yeah, that's the key word. Constructive. If you hopping on the YouTube thread as being a troll, don't be surprised. We set up a filter or something for you. We learned some stuff. We learned some pretty new stuff last week. We did the podcast.
Right.
So, but
I also follow us on Twitter at the Black Techies. I also say, like I said, this isn't a political podcast or anything, but I will say, if you have to stay home, or rather, if you don't have to go out, just stay home. Please just stay home. I know I get it. For a lot of people out there, this is really hard, especially if you got, you know, if you've been let go because of your business can't, you know, sustain itself because no one's going, no one's patroning the business or whatever. You know, if you lost your job, or if it's just really hard to manage being at home with all your family, with your kids, they're not in school or they have to do distance learning. I get it. I promise you, I get it. My daughter is doing distance learning. My wife has to work from home. I get it. But for right now, at this moment, we just need people to stay home. Flatten this curve, and then the faster we can do this, the faster we can get on with our lives. I get there are a few states trying to open back up. That's a different story. I'm not going to get into that, but I will say, if you don't have to go out, don't go out. You know, use Uber Eats, use Eat Out, do whatever you have to do. Just tough it out, and I promise y'all, we will get through this as soon as possible. But yeah.
And to piggyback off of what Dave just said, for those folks that are working, that are essential, that are doing the gig economies in this day and time, that are doing Uber Eats or Instacart or any number of things that are quite literally keeping everybody else sane and running.
All the people working at hospitals,
hospitals, you know, all the people that say that, you know, for whatever reason, you don't deserve to have a living wage. We got you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for putting your life, especially those working in the medical field. Like if you're a nurse, a doctor, you have to be up close and personal with people who have this disease. And that risk is always there of you catching it because of that. You know, you have to be close to them as that's your job. Yeah. Like, I will say thank you for your service and thank you for, you know, doing all you can, and not just you all, but the scientists out there who are trying to, you know, defeat this thing, you know, who are trying to kill this thing. So,
yeah, in spite of certain circumstances.
And please don't drink Lysol.
Hey, hey, guys. Don't be telling people to do the opposite of what our fearless leader has told us to do. In fact, what I was going to tell the people is, if you're going to inject disinfectant, make sure you use the right gauge needle. Consult your local healthcare professional so that they can let you know which is the right needle to use. You don't want to put too much or too little disinfectant into your bloodstream. Also, if you want to turn on a light bulb and get like an intent, get it real close to your body so that an intense amount of light can get in you. And use the light disinfectant combo, and you will beat Corona just like everybody else that beat Corona. They beat it with disinfectant and light. I don't know. That's what they're not telling the people.
I will say that Dominate doesn't represent the views of the Black Tech podcast. Anything he says is his own opinion.
and the opinion of the highest official in the land, you know, just us two, you know.
Dave, you know you're going to have that disclaimer scroll across the
I know, right? I gotta, I'm going to make sure I edit that in there. So, yeah, if you're watching this, that's what you see right now at the bottom, like, just scroll. but as we kind of wrap this up, yeah, follow us on Twitter at the Black Techies. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theblacktechiespodcast, and join us on the collective. We'd love to have you. Subscribe, tell your friends, leave a comment and or review on iTunes so we can improve. We want to put out as much content as we can, and we want to do it in a way that's engaging and in a way that gets people to come back. You know, no one likes boring content, right? So let us know what we're doing, how we're doing, and just keep, you know, subscribe, and we'll keep on. We got a lot of stuff down the pipe. In fact, next week, I'm not going to work next week. I'm off next week. So that's all I'm going to be doing is trying to put together some YouTube content. I got a new channel that's coming out. I'll let you know. That's a little sneak peek. That's I'm going to be coming out with my own personal channel. I'll let you all know that in the very near future. But stay tuned for that one. But you know, if you don't subscribe, you know, you might not find out about it. So subscribe. On that note, any last words before I allow Dominique to wrap us up in his signature way?
One little last tidbit. For those gamers out there like myself that are fans of college sports gaming, there was some really, really positive news to come out of the NCAA this week. We'll probably touch more on it on the next podcast, but safe to say we're a lot closer to getting those beloved NCAA football and basketball games back.
All right, guys. Well, like we all said, like everybody on the podcast said and agreed, light and disinfectant is the way. So go forth this week and be your best version of yourself. Each one teach one. You know, if you have somebody, your next door neighbor that might not have any disinfectant, make sure you get it. Also, get your flashlights out. Just flashlights on everybody. Make sure all the light is getting on everybody. So try to get a really bright flashlight so the light is as intense as possible. Flashlights at everybody, all right? But with that being said, understand that every time you go to sleep and wake up, we're closer and closer to that brilliant man no longer being our president. The Black Techies, y'all. We're signing out.
All right. On that note, hail Wakanda.
Hail Wakanda forever!